Call 445-2200. That's 445-2200 and talk with Tom Steitner or Tammy Steitner, second generation of the Steitner family. Pre-arrangement by the Thomas M. Steitner Funeral Home in Chicora. Go ahead, give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Taking a look at your weather forecast today, it looks like we'll have some clouds throughout the day, but some sunshine at a high near 79. Clear tonight with a low down to 60, and then tomorrow, more sunshine, maybe a small brief shower, but 83 for a high, sunny Thursday, 85 Friday, some sunshine, and a high near 85 degrees. We're currently at 76 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Malarkey is coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. It's been a mix of sun and clouds today. Rather pleasant, actually, even though there have been some clouds at times. All of the storms of yesterday are now long gone. We had some pretty good boomers last night, didn't we? And it really doesn't matter where you live. Within our listening area, you got at least some rain last night and storm activity. But that's long gone now. We started to see a little bit of sunshine even early this morning, and there's been more and more as we've moved through the day. About halfway through, we expect to have a good bit of sunshine later on. It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We're going to be talking about the Big Butler Fair later on the program today. I have Ben Roenig here from Board of Directors and some other folks as well, perhaps, from the Big Butler Fair, which, you may not realize, is only a few days away. The fair opens, I believe it's this Friday, the first day of the fair. And it'll run through this weekend and all of next week, too. So we'll get all the details on that. Big Butler Fair has been around for a long, long time. So Ben Roenig and others will be here to tell us about some of the stuff that's coming up. First portion of our program, though, we're going to meet our first guest here momentarily. We're going to be talking about Greece, the country of Greece, not like grease in a skillet when you're cooking something. No, the country of Greece. Mary Norris will be our guest. Mary is a writer. She's laughingly referred to as the comma queen. She's a stickler for punctuation. Writes for The New Yorker magazine. Ever read that? I do not read it on a regular basis. I've occasionally come across a copy and read an article or two. But it's a very popular magazine, The New Yorker. Anyway, she writes for The New Yorker, and she is also a frequent traveler to Greece. And she travels solo. She's a solo traveler. So she's written about that in a pretty neat memoir. And you would be surprised to learn just how much Greek culture affects our lives here in the United States today in many, many ways. Maybe you didn't realize that. Well, we'll talk about it with Mary Norris. Actually, she'll be joining us by telephone in just a couple of moments. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. I tell you what, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll hook up with Mary Norris, our first guest on It's Your Turn this Tuesday. We will be right back.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
I think you're going to be delighted, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR with our guest. My name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking with Mary Norris about a really, really nice new memoir that she's written. The title is Greek to Me, Adventures of the Comma Queen. Mary Norris, nice to make your acquaintance. Nice to talk with you for a few minutes here today.
Oh, very nice to be talking to you, Dave.
Mary, by the way, is the renowned New Yorker copy editor. I guess that's where you got the nickname Comma Queen. Am I right on that, Mary?
That is correct. We're very fussy about commas at the New Yorker.
And other punctuation as well. Well, let's talk about your memoir, Greek to Me. Have you visited Greece many times, Mary?
I've been there now 8 times. I first traveled there in the early 1980s, 1983. And over the course of the decade, I've gone every couple of years or so.
Well, Greek to Me is really a very charming account of Mary's lifelong love affair with words, number one, and with her solo adventures in Greece, the land of the olive trees, and that Greek liquor. What did ouzo? Am I pronouncing that correctly, Mary?
Oh, yes.
First time I ever heard of that, and I was a kid. I was watching the film The Guns of Navarone with the late Gregory Peck, and they were drinking that stuff.
That's right. That must have been set in the Bay of Navarino, I guess.
I'm not sure. I think it was a partly fictional story, but kind of based on what was happening during that time in World War II. So, if we're talking about Greece, we've got to talk about the Greek mythology. Who are some of the big-name gods and goddesses that you discuss in your memoir?
Well, my first exposure to mythology was actually at a movie when I was a kid, Ulysses, starring Kirk Douglas.
Mm.
And, you know, there were all the wonderful adventures of Odysseus, called Ulysses, for the purposes of the movie. And I first met the Cyclops. He's not a god, but a titan. And, you know, the one with the single eye in forehead.
We're starting to get some breakup in our phone call here. We'll see if we can proceed. If it gets too bad, I'll just hang up and give you a call again. But I think we're okay right now. You mentioned Ulysses. That's actually the Latin name for Odysseus. And we have that throughout mythology, right? We have the Greek names and the Latin names for the same gods, right?
Well, I think they are slightly different. I think the Romans had their own gods, and a lot of them got merged with the Greek gods or took over. For instance, Athena in Greek mythology, in Roman, is Minerva.
Mm-hmm.
And Zeus is Jupiter, Hera is Juno. I think they're pretty much the same, but it would be a mistake to say they are actually the same. It's that the Romans blended in and took from the Greeks what they wanted.
Athena is a great model for the independent woman of today, right, Mary?
I think so, yes. She was certainly a good model for me. I remember reading in the Odyssey how Athena helped Odysseus and was a great counselor to him, always telling him, don't do anything rash, think it out, make sure you approach this person this way, and of course, Odysseus is always lying to conceal his identity and probably to give him time to gauge what was happening around him. But I loved the way Athena looked out for Odysseus, and I was kind of in love with Odysseus. So there was some crazy transference going on there where I wanted to be like both Odysseus and like Athena, I guess.
The city of Athens is named after Athena, I would presume, or am I wrong on that?
Absolutely. In Greek, the word is Athena, in fact, for Athens. She was said to have given the Athenians the olive tree, planted an olive tree on the Acropolis.
We use names from Greek mythology a lot, folks, in our everyday walk of life. How about the Apollo space missions, which took Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to the moon 50 years ago, by the way, summer of 1969. Apollo space mission. Apollo was another name from Greek mythology, right, Mary Norris?
Yes. Also, Nike, the ubiquitous running shoe.
That's right.
Is for the Greek goddess of victory.
The swoosh, I guess they call it.
The Nike swoosh.
The Nike swoosh, yeah. Here's something I did not know until I saw your book, City of Los Angeles, which comes from the Spanish City of Angels, but the Greek word is messenger, right?
Angelos means messenger, yes. Huh. Evangelist is a messenger from on high.
Like the angel Gabriel.
Good news.
We see the Greek alphabet pop up a lot, too. Folks may not realize that. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, if I remember correctly, from
my
fraternity days. That was one of the first things as pledges that we had to memorize, the Greek alphabet.
What was your fraternity?
Theta Xi. It's an engineering fraternity mainly, although I was not an engineering student.
Uh-huh. And do you ever reveal, you can't, I know, secret motto?
No. If I did, I would be forced to harm you, so I won't.
I'm so curious about those things, and no one ever tells.
I want to talk specifically about the Greek letter psi. It's at the beginning of many English words, is it not?
Yes. It's from, it's spelt in English P-S. In Greek, it looks like a pitchfork, attribute of Poseidon, god of the sea. And it's first letter of Psyche, as in the bride of Eros, who was the son of Aphrodite. Psyche means mind or spirit. And we get all our words like psychology, psychiatry, psychosis. Is there such a thing as psychometrics? I think I might have just made that one up.
Sounds good.
But we get all those words for the psych. For the processes of mind, from psyche, from the Greek word.
Did you realize this, listeners? So much of our common everyday language descended from Greek. We're talking with Mary Norris about a memoir that she's just published entitled Greek to Me, The Adventures of the Comma Queen. Do you talk about Greece, for those of us who have never been there but have long admired the beautiful pictures of the Greek coastline and the cities of Greece. Do you talk about the country in your book, Mary?
Yes, very much so. I traveled around a lot in Greece, and one always visits the temples, of course, and the temples are set in these beautiful places. You know, the Greeks just knew where to build so that the temple, the building, will complement landscape, and the landscape just sets off.
Was the Parthenon a temple?
Yes, a temple dedicated to Athena Parthenos, which means Athena the Virgin. So Parthenon is devoted to her.
I've wondered when I see pictures of the Parthenon, whether it was partially reconstructed, you know, like the Roman Colosseum. For people who have been there, have seen pictures of it. They actually reconstructed a little bit of it to make it look more like Colosseum. Did they do that with the Parthenon, or is what we see today still remaining from centuries ago?
Well, as you probably know, it was blown up by the Venetians, I think, way back centuries ago. And what's left is the ruins of the original Parthenon, and they may have tried to put some of it back together. You know, it was like Humpty Dumpty. It was really pretty well shattered. And if you go now I think it's still really interesting just to see the fragments. They have all these stones, discs, rocks, all labeled and lined up in hopes of putting it back together again, I think.
Wasn't it from the Parthenon that the British stole the Elgin marbles, or am I mixing things up here?
Absolutely. That's where they stole these beautiful things, statues of the god from the pediment. That's the they filled in the archway at the top of the roof, and these things called metopes, which were in a frieze along the sides. Beautiful sculptures showing centaurs and various figures from mythology, as well as the gods themselves. Those, to see those, the originals, you have to go to the British Museum.
Yes, and Greece has been trying to get them back from the British Museum for a long time, and the British Museum is saying, no, we're not going to do it. Hey, we'll take a quick break here. We have a couple more minutes to chat with Mary Norris. We'll pick up our conversation with her here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after this break.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ArmCo Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join. So call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ArmCo Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey, and on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, we're chatting with Mary Norris, author of a new memoir entitled Greek to Me, The Adventures of the Comma Queen. How did you get interested in Greek history and Greek mythology and the country of Greece originally, Mary? Is that part of your family heritage, or did you just kind of stumble onto it?
Oh, no, it's not part of my heritage at all, and I get asked that a lot when I'm in Greece because they wonder why I'm traveling there. I'm actually Irish, Irish-American, and from Cleveland. I think it was probably that I was looking for the most opposite place to Cleveland. And the scenery in Greece drew me. I saw a movie called Time Bandits, which made by Terry Gilliam of the Monty Python troupe, and it had a scene with Sean Connery as Agamemnon fighting the Minotaur in this landscape that I took for Greece, which was very, very elemental, very bare soil and very blazing blue sky, all clarity, and I wanted to go there. I found out later that that movie was shot in Morocco, but I was already on my way. And then after I decided to go to Greece, it came back to me that I took a course in mythology when I was a sophomore in college. I went to Rutgers University, Douglas College in New Jersey, and I had a brilliant lecturer for that course. And it seemed to me at the time that those Greek gods were really still relevant. They represented like aspects of human behavior, the human mind.
We have seen, we've seen quite a few movies about Greece, from Greece. You can go all the way back to Spartacus, for example, would be nice. We mentioned the Guns of Navarone. There have been others. Those sun-splashed fishing villages, with all the white cottages along the coast of the Adriatic, are they as beautiful in person as they are in pictures, Mary?
Yes, they are. The sea and the sky in Greece are dazzling, and those white buildings really set everything off. And everything, it's pretty stony. You know, there are not a lot of lush green lawns, for instance. I don't think they have those at all in Greece. But I like the austerity of it, and the fact that from those pretty bare things, from rocky soil and salt water, we get, or they get, rather, olive trees and grapevines, and they use those things for everything they can squeeze out of them. They make wine, they make olive oil, which is used for so many things, you know, everything from shampoo to lamplight in the old days.
Let's talk about the island of Cyprus. That's still split, is it not? Part of it's Greece, part of it's Turkey. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, actually, Cyprus is supposed to be its own autonomous state, but both Greece and Turkey have had designs on it, and actually, throughout history, Cyprus has been an object of desire for every country that went through it. So now it's Greek Cypriots on one side and Turkish Cypriots on the other side, and there is a dividing line that splits the island, which is a terrible tragedy. I don't know how they're ever going to resolve it.
Isn't that where the goddess of love, Aphrodite, was based in Greek mythology?
Yes, they say that she was born in, rose up on the seas, foam-born is what Aphrodite is supposed to mean, and that she made her home in Cyprus. So that's what drew me to it, even though there was a war going on. I figured that any place associated so closely with Aphrodite had to be really beautiful. And it is.
How do you get to Cyprus? Can you take a ferry, or do you have to fly?
You can could fly, I guess. I took a ferry. It was a bit of a journey, because a lot of people, when they go to Greece, take a cruise. So, you know, you just get on the ship, and it takes you from one island to the other. Mm-hmm. But the way I did it, I wanted to be on my own. So I just had to do research and find ships that was, you know, that had the timing was right for. So I went from Athens to Crete, hung around for a while in Crete, and then went, I landed in Heraklion in Crete. Made my way to a town called Ios Nikolaos, which is a port on the eastern tip of Crete, and went from there to Rhodes, and then I was in Rhodes for maybe 20 minutes, switching boats to a big boat called the Solfrini that went to Cyprus. It was a big trip, you know, that was more of a cruise ship that was on its way all the way from Italy to Haifa, I believe. I was just on it for that one segment.
The Colossus of Rhodes, wasn't that one of the ancient wonders of the world, the Colossus of Rhodes?
That's what they say, yes, that there was a huge statue that bestrode the mouth of the port to Rhodes. And I have since spent more time on Rhodes, and there's always figurines in all of the shops, and even a clock that shows the Colossus.
Folks, the more you think about it, the
spread holding up the port.
The more you think about it, the more you see evidences of Greek language and Greek mythology in our everyday life. If you've ever seen a copy of the Hippocratic Oath posted on the wall in the waiting room when you're going to the doctor, well, that comes from Greece too, doesn't it, Mary Norris?
It certainly does, yes. Hippocrates was he wasn't the first doctor, but he was the first person who taught and who knew that disease was not just a curse from the gods, that it was a physical thing that happened to people and that maybe you could do something about.
Have you picked up at least some of the Greek language, Mary?
Yes, I made a point of learning a little bit of Greek, at least so that I could travel there and talk with people. I think it's only polite when you travel to try to learn a bit of the language of the country you're going to. I learned enough to buy a ferry ticket and get a hotel room and order a meal. I got better. I studied a lot back in the 80s, and I had a pretty good vocabulary, but it's a difficult language, and now a lot of Greeks speak English, so you don't get so much practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only is it a difficult language, it's difficult alphabet. So, you know, that's a whole lot more difficult than studying or learning German or French, for example.
Well, it's a different alphabet, but it's not that difficult. Our English alphabet is derived from the Greek alphabet through the Roman alphabet, and they all go back to the Phoenicians. Alphabeta, the first two letters, have been stable ever since Phoenicia, which would have been like 3000 BC or something. So I would say, you know, you learned an alphabet when you were just a kid, right?
Yeah.
I believe it's possible to learn another alphabet. It's not that hard.
Mm. I understand that you have to be careful with the accents in Greek words. If you accent the wrong syllable, no one will have any idea what you're talking about.
It's true. In English, we are a little bit more forgiving. If you put the accent on the wrong syllable, we still understand what you mean. But in Greek, it can mean a whole different word, and it can be embarrassing, I tell you. I've made some disastrous mistakes.
We have to wrap up our conversation with Mary. I did want to read one testimonial, and it's from Steve Martin, who said, I fell in love with Mary's book, Charming, Ribald, Highly Informed, and Always Funny Excursion Through the Language, the Culture, and the Oddities of Greece and the Greek Language. That's a nice testimonial from Steve Martin there, Mary.
It certainly is. Yes, I'm a big fan of Steve Martin.
Yeah, very talented guy, too, by the way. Not just a funny man, very talented guy musically.
And a good writer, too.
Indeed, yes. Where can we find your book, Mary? Is it the usual places, online or in bookstores, or where do we get it?
You can get it through one of the big retailers online. You can also get it at your local bookstore, independent bookstore. And if you need a link, I have a website, comaqueen.net, which also has links to all of the tours, the stops I'll be making on the book tour.
A pleasure to talk with you, Mary Norris. Thanks for being with us here today.
To talk with you, Dave.
All right. So long now.
Bye-bye.
Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit tririversmsk.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
If you're struggling to find a gym that's right for you, try the fitness center at Applewood Chiropractic. You don't have to be a chiropractic patient, and it's the only executive level fitness center in Butler. Open 7 days a week, the fitness center provides a clean, safe, unintimidating environment with modern equipment, fitness classes, and a full-time staff to assist you. Call 724-283-8894 or visit applewoodchiro.com. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler.
Hi, this is Pat Parker reminding you that you can tune to WISR 680 AM radio Saturdays after the CBS News at 10 AM for the phone party and audio auction. You can buy, sell, and trade items or mention garage or yard sales. You will also have the opportunity to bid on certificates from restaurants and other businesses and tickets from area locations. The phone number to keep in mind is 724-283-2525. That's 724-283-2525 for the phone party and audio auction on Saturdays after the 10 a.m. CBS News.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us. Fascinating conversation about the influence of Greek culture on our society here in America today, huh? With Mary Norris, our first guest. Well, our next guests are with us here in the studio. We say hello to Ben Ronick, member of the Board of Directors of the Big Butler Fair. Ben, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And also with us is another member of the Board of Directors, and that's Harold Dunn. Harold, good to see you as well.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You're both officers, right? Harold, you're secretary?
I'm the secretary, yeah.
And Ben, you're vice president.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is it a big board of governors for the Butler Fair, by the way?
15. Oh,
that's
of us.
Pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're talking with Ben and with Harold because the Big Butler Fair, believe it or not, opens this Friday. It's only a couple of days away, huh?
Yep.
Some people might be shocked to realize, Ben Roenig, how long the Big Butler Fair has been around. This is 164
years.
Now, folks, do the subtraction. I did it. I had to write it down because, you know, we're going back a couple of centuries here almost. That means it's before the Civil War.
Before the Civil War, yeah.
It's like the mid-1850s. Civil War was 1860.
Yep, correct.
Harold, that's hard to believe. The Big Butler Fair was going on before the Civil War.
We keep reminding ourselves that we've got a tradition to carry on, and it's a big, long tradition.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that was back when James Buchanan was the President of the United States, for goodness sakes, before Abraham Lincoln. It wasn't always where it's now located, though, right?
Right, correct. It started down at Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
And then
not very far from where we're sitting right now.
Right, huh? Right. That's correct.
And then it moved up to where the high school is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the high school bought the property there, and that's when they moved it out to 422.
I knew until a couple of years ago, I thought that the original location was on the campus of what's now the Butler Senior High School. And I knew also that there was a harness track there at one time.
Right.
Where it's part of the fairground, mm-hmm. which is incidentally why that road leading up there is called Fairground Hill Road.
Right. Yeah.
But I did not know. Somebody, we were talking about this one day on the program a couple of years ago, and somebody said that it wasn't even originally on top of the hill, that it was down along what's now Hanson Avenue, and I never knew that before.
Right, right. Yeah, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's really going back. Mm-hmm. Probably neither one of you guys were on the board back then.
No, that was in the 50s when it moved out to Prospect.
So the board of directors at that time, whoever they were, would have made a decision, I guess.
And what a great decision they did make.
Indeed, because it got much more fantastic room out there.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, yeah. you can go everywhere you want to go. And I have no idea how big the Big Butler Fair complex is, but it's got to be
151 acres.
I knew it had to be over 100.
Yeah.
So, okay, to the details here. The Big Butler Fair opens this Friday, and then you got
the Clarks. The Clarks is a concert out there, and it's bike night. So you
well-known local band, regional band, actually, Clarks.
And Butler loves the Clarks.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. Yeah. Based in Pittsburgh, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they went big, but they never went, like, all over the country. I don't know. They're a funny group, but I'll tell you.
Well, you never know about that.
From teenagers to 50-year-olds like the Clarks.
They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes local groups will go big. You think about the Vogues, maybe from Turtle Creek or something like that. And sometimes they don't. There are many outstanding and very popular bands that, for one reason or another, never hit a big. Of course, that the whole music scene has changed so much anymore. You don't hit it big like you used to on national radio. It's you know, more on social media and the internet these days. Well, anyway, the Clarks are going to be there. What time is that concert? Do you have that schedule in front of you?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
And for the bikes, 4 o'clock, the gates open up, and you can park on the track.
So what's the deal on bike night? What's that mean, Harold? Is that, I mean, if you ride a motorcycle, you get in free?
Go.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, actually, $5. $5, two per bike, though.
Well, that's a pretty good deal.
You get the park right on the track.
Yeah. Quite a discount, you know.
Sure.
So do you have to go in a special gate if you're going on bike night?
West gate.
Okay, west gate. There'd be directions there, I'm sure, whenever you get there, if you've never participated before.
Exactly.
Have you had this bike night thing in the past?
Yes. Yeah, probably
popular?
6 or 7 years now we've had it.
Mm-hmm. Big draw?
Yeah. In fact, the last Saturday we're going to have another one, so it'll be the first Friday and the last day of the fair.
Mm-hmm. There, of course, is great entertainment at the Big Butler Fair, but there's still, Harold Dunn, there's still an agricultural component, is there not?
You bet. Yep. Yeah, that's one of the legs that we stand on, is entertaining our community and also showcase of agriculture.
Mm-hmm. So is there a particular schedule of events for some of the agricultural competitions that happen?
Yeah, we actually start judging Saturday morning straight through 8 days to the following Saturday. We do have flyers and so forth out throughout the community, and BigButlerFair.com is our website that if people want to check on that schedule, it's all posted online that they can get that information. But we have judging and so forth going on every day.
What are judged, animals?
We've got everything from dairy, beef, sheep, cattle, poultry, rabbits, chickens, antique tractors. Yeah, anything to do with the farm community, a big arts and crafts show. Master Gardeners put on a display out there this year. So, yeah.
It must be quite a logistical feat to get all those animals in and out on a rotating basis, because I assume once you've judged, whatever, the sheep, then the sheep go out so there's room for other animals.
You know, actually, we keep everything there the total 9 days.
Get out.
Yeah, we do. Once people move in here at the end of the week, they stay through next Saturday. A lot of people stay through Sunday morning and start trucking everything back home. Our family exhibits, and I know it's fun. We're trying to figure out a schedule of how we get everything to the fair. Mm-hmm. And I'll remind them that 160 years ago, people were trying to figure out how to do it, and they didn't have stock trailers and big trucks and so forth. They were taking horse and buggies and, you know, paying to have animals shipped to the fairgrounds and so forth. So it's changed a lot, but it's still a very, you know, important part of the fair.
So I'm assuming some of these animals are kept in pens, some in barns or outbuildings. Is that how that works?
Yeah, we have numerous barns throughout the complex there. We probably in the last 25 years, we've had a real concerted effort to improve all facilities. I think all of our barns have been rebuilt and, you know, with good clean power, lots of water, sewage throughout the ground. So that part of the infrastructure in the fair, we've worked real hard on.
Keep all those animals there 9 days.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you got 150 acres. That's all I can say.
It is a good thing. It is a good thing.
Yeah. You pay when you go in. Is that right, Ben?
It's right at the gate. $7 before 4 o'clock.
I'm sorry. What was that total again?
$7 before 4 o'clock and $9 after 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So a great deal.
Now, does that get you in, or is that for parking, or how?
It's free parking.
Okay.
That gets you into everything except ride the rides, and the carnival sells tickets or else all-day ride bands if you want.
Okay.
That does include all the grandstand shows that you were talking about with Ben. All that entertainment in front of the grandstand is included in the price when you come in the gate.
My engineer tells me I have to make sure you guys stay a little closer to those microphones so we can hear you. That's good. So I was going to ask you, Ben, for example, the Clark's concert on opening day Friday night, there's no extra admission charge for that?
None. Nope.
Okay. I kind of like the idea that the carnival rides are separate, because a lot of people just like to go to the – they have no interest in, you know, some of those thrill rides. I got to be honest with you. I look at some of those, and I get all the thrill I need. I wouldn't have to get on the thing. Yeah. But some people just like to walk around and enjoy the ambiance, and they don't want to particularly pay to get on the ride, you know.
Right. And our carnival is by far one of the best in the country. I mean, Powers Great American Midway. So it's safe, clean, and the rides are unbelievable.
That's the company, Powers Midway?
Powers Great American Midway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Have you had that company for a while?
Yeah, probably 20-some years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So you're probably pretty regulars with them. They probably schedule you on a regular basis every year, huh?
Well, we need each other. And they do very few county fairs. They actually do a lot of state fairs throughout the East Coast. We're very fortunate that, as Ben mentioned, that we've built a relationship and, you know, we communicate with each other year round to make sure we're all still on the same page and able to do what we need to do at the fair.
Well, that's an interesting point, and it speaks to what Ben said about this being one of the real top-notch carnival companies. They wouldn't be doing state fairs if they weren't in the upper echelon. For sure.
We are blessed to have them, and he loves to come here. Absolutely loves Butler.
I would imagine, here we are, Tuesday afternoon, the fair opens on Friday. They've probably got some of the stuff there already, or be pulling in very soon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? It's already there?
A lot of the rides are already set up, and they're doing all their safety checks and maintenance and so forth. Yeah.
That's something I would like to watch sometime. If I ever had a couple, because I'm sure it takes a couple of days, to watch them start from scratch.
It is something.
And set up some of those.
Like building a city.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, true. And some of those rides, I mean, I don't know what they're going to have this year, but I've seen in the past that whatever that ride's called where you get on this row of seats and they take you straight up in the air and then they let it go and
yeah.
comes back down again. Hey, I don't. You couldn't pay me to get on that thing.
Yeah.
Let alone me pay to get on it. That boggles my mind. But to watch them set that up, you know, right. from nothing, that'd be
the
great.
The big Ferris wheel takes them probably 4 or 5 days at least. To set up.
Big wheel, right?
Yeah, it is a big one. I think there's only three of those in the entire country. It's the only one in the East Coast.
Wow.
Yep, that he moves like that.
I think it takes 5 tractors and trailers to bring the one ride in.
Just the Ferris wheel. Wow.
It's something.
Yeah, it is.
Ferris wheels remain very popular. That's a carnival ride that's been around forever.
That and the merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round, yeah. I don't know anything about the history of the merry-go-round, but a fellow by the name of George Ferris invented the Ferris wheel. George Ferris. Yeah. And I believe that there's a Pittsburgh connection to that. He was either from Pittsburgh or the first one he ever built was in Pittsburgh or something like that. And they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. All over the world. Got that thing in London called the London Eye. I think it opened about 10, 12 years ago, something like that. Gargantuan. And it's permanent.
Yeah.
You know, it's there all the time. Well, anyway. It'll be the big Ferris wheel again. Ben Roenick, the Butler Fair opens this Friday, runs until when?
Next Saturday, the 5th. The 6th. The 6th. Saturday the 6th.
Always over the 4th, you like
Always
to say,
over
right?
Over the 4th, yes. That's right. We've got big fireworks on the 4th of July, of course. Last year, I think we got rained out. We had to do them. It was 4th was on Thursday, and we had to do it Friday. But the weather's looking good, so we want everybody to come out. I mean, everybody ought to be tired being in.
Yeah, finally the weather has started to change. After last week, I don't know whether we could have taken another week of that. But it turned over the weekend, and finally it's starting to feel like summer.
It is.
Good hot weather. Supposed to be in the well up into the mid-80s by the end of this week. That's fair weather, right?
It is fair weather.
It's fair weather. Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be back to talk more with Harold and with Ben about the Big Butler Fair, which, believe it or not, opens this Friday. Back with more here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Tune in to WISR 680 AM Sunday mornings for these programs. Senior Voice at 7:10 a.m., The Rosary at 8, Church of God at Connoconessing at 8:30, followed by church services from St. Paul's Roman Catholic Church at 9:15, and First Baptist Church at 11.
Need to get out of town? Check into Butler Motor Tours. They can get you out of town in style and in comfort on their big luxury cruise buses. Have you checked out their website lately? So many exciting trips coming up. Check out butlerbus.com and find out where they're taking you next. They have trips all over the country. They'll even help you set sail to maybe the Caribbean. Casino trips, historic landmarks, all across the country. No driving, no handling luggage, entertainment, and most meals. All can be put together with no worries, all in an inclusive price. Call Butler Motor Tours today for more information. Or again, go to their website, butlerbus.com, and check out all of the exciting trips. They especially take care of you around the holidays. Seriously, no better way to travel than Butler Motor Tours.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Big Butler Fair, which opens 164th edition, did you say, Ben? 164
years.
Opens this Friday at the Butler Fairgrounds, of course, out in Prospect. A lot of folks say, is that Prospect out there? Well, actually, it is technically. It's on 422, but I think that's part of the municipality of Prospect.
We have property both in Prospect Borough and in Franklin Township. So
it's right on the borderline
right
there,
border.
Between the two municipalities. Quick note, too, and I forgot to mention this, the concert by the Clarks, which will help to open the show this Friday night, is sponsored by our sister station. Here at Butler Radio Group, the rock station, 97.7.
Yep. We're glad to have them.
Have the gang all there from 97.7 on Friday. In fact, I think they're going to be broadcasting live from the fair on Friday afternoon. leading up to the concert on Friday night. What time do the gates open each day, or does that vary according to the day of the week?
During the week, 11 o'clock. The carnival opens up at 4 o'clock, or 3 o'clock. And then on weekends and on 4th of July, the gates open up at 9 o'clock, and the rides will open up at 1.
When does the fair shut down? Does it depend on how many people are there or what?
That's about it, when the fun stops. You know, we have no time that it shuts down. The carnival kind of rules it. And, yeah, when the crowd starts getting out of there, everybody starts shutting down.
Not like till 2 o'clock in the morning or anything like that, though.
Sometimes when we used to have them demolition derbies, it would be pretty late before they got out of there, but a lot of the stuff closed before they got out of that.
Let's talk a little bit about, I want to talk more with Harold here in a second about some of the agricultural events, but can we, Ben, kind of run down the schedule here in terms of, we mentioned the Clark's concert on Friday. What about on Saturday?
Saturday,
anything special happening there?
Dave Martin's Bull Mania. It's kind of like a rodeo with the bulls, barrel racing, mutton butt.
Mm-hmm.
We've had them before, and it's a great draw. And
that'll take place in the grandstand area there?
Yeah, right in front of the grandstand.
Okay.
Then Sunday, the school bus demolition derby, which the kids absolutely love that. That's every year, that's one of our biggest nights, and it's...
You destroy school buses?
School buses, yep.
And, these are old ones, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
They'll certainly be old after the demolition derby, that's right. For sure.
We was the first one to ever have it in the world, a school bus demolition derby, and that's
really
been 15 years ago. Yeah first one ever. Huh. And a lot of fairs and stuff have them now, too. But
well, they're copying off of you.
Well, yeah. You know, everybody follows the Big Butler Fair. Yeah. Then Monday, we got the car demolition derby, which that's always a big hit, too.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, there's judging of the animals and stuff.
Mm-hmm. By the way, these demo derbies, there's a racetrack at the fairground. People may not realize that at the grandstand there.
That's right.
It's a big racetrack.
Yeah. Yeah. We have harness racing this Friday. No, it's Thursday and Friday. But it brings in some people, but not like it used to be. That used to be a big deal.
I interrupted you. Where were
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, the figure eight races and pickup truck demo. So that's at 7 o'clock also. Wednesday, the truck pulls. And that's always a big draw. The diesel 4x4 trucks, super street gas trucks, and the super farm limited pro tractors will all be Wednesday, July 3rd.
Be a lot of noise that night.
Yeah.
And those babies fire up.
They do.
You can hear them on the surface of the moon, I think, when they fire up. And then Thursday of next week's 4th of July.
4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And we have more truck pulls. And then we have a celebrity milking contest, and then you get free ice cream at our free giant sundae. They make a sundae, and we give ice cream out.
That ought to be a huge weekend for you. You know, 4th of July falling on a Thursday, and then right after that it's Friday, Saturday, so that'll be 3 days in a row.
Wednesday night should be great. You know, a lot of people will take off Friday.
Yeah. You'll have huge attendance. Yeah.
And then Friday, we have a mud bog. We started that about 2 years ago.
What would that be, Ben?
The four-wheel drive trucks or Jeeps, whatever, just try to drive through sloppy mud. You know what I mean? And whoever makes it through wins.
We actually create a mud pit in front of the grandstands. They have a ball. So you can get through it.
Used to do that on bicycles when I was
a
kid.
There you go. Big boys, big toys.
And Friday, another big hit is the horse pulls, the draft horse pulls.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like to come see them. That's probably one of my favorite things to watch. And then the 6th, we're going to have Blackhawk and our other bike night. So you can do the same deal Saturday as you did the Friday. And Blackhawk, we're hoping they do a good job, and I'm sure they will. They're like an 80s band, country band.
Another country band, yeah. So that's Saturday, July 6th, which will be closing day.
Closing day
for the fair. As we mentioned earlier, there's a big agricultural component, which remains very strong, as it was, I'm sure, at the very first Big Butler Fair back in the 1850s. What's new in that particular area, Harold? They had some sort of an edict from the state that's going to limit some of the competition, right?
Yes. Just recently, the Department of Agriculture in Pennsylvania decided that there wouldn't be a pig show in particular. There is a disease across the world. It's called African swine fever. And they're telling us that it's the largest animal disease outbreak in history.
Wow.
And it hasn't, there's been no occurrence of the disease in the United States, but a lot of the states have decided that they do not want swine shows, particularly swine shows that might exhibit animals that are going back home to the farm. There's no known cure. There is no vaccination regimen that can be used for this disease. If the pigs get it, they die. They say in China and Vietnam right now, they've lost 3.5 million animals.
Mm.
So it's big. It's real big. And fortunately, as I said, we haven't had any outbreak in the United States, but they're trying to prevent that, of course. It would it'd be devastating if we got that here in our country. So we've canceled our show at the fair. It's not a disease that affects humans in any way. Human beings can't get that disease, but it's very easy for animals to pick up. People that have traveled to foreign countries and have come into the United States, there's a lot of news stories about animals going through customs. They're trying to pick up anything that has been brought in, but it can be picked up on clothes and shoes from someone that's traveled to some of these other countries. So they're trying to lock things down pretty tight to ensure that the key is they don't want those animals coming to an exhibition and going back home, mm-hmm. and just in case we have an outbreak.
I think the poor pig gets, you remember 20, 25 years ago, the swine flu scare here?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact year. I know I went and got a shot. They had these mass inoculations for the swine flu, and it turned out to be nothing. it was like Y2K, you know. It never happened.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're hoping that will be the case with this, too, that if they do everything they can and, we participate or lack of participating in a swine show, that we can prevent it from being any kind of an issue. But, there's sometimes you think, geez, oh, man, why are they doing that now? And it just came out 2 weeks ago, just prior to our fair. So,
well, better safe than sorry.
Well, and I think that's the attitude they've taken. Yeah.
And it was a couple of years ago. 2 years ago, I think they had the avian bird flu. Remember,
exactly.
And at many of the fairs, there was no poultry allowed. Because wasn't that a couple of years ago?
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So better safe than sorry.
Yes.
Because these diseases can spread very, very quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
Among animals, there'll still be lots of animals.
Will be. And in fact, this year we have a new department. We have an alpaca show for the first time. We've got a group of young people that are bringing their alpacas. Some other contests for fun. We're having a round bale contest. A lot of farmers are making big round bales now, and we're going to have a contest for the various 4-H groups in the county. They each get a bale to decorate. It's up to them how they're going to do that. So it's going to be fun to do that. I'd mentioned earlier that through Penn State Extension, the Master Gardeners are participating, and they'll set up their display. And we actually, one new contest in arts and crafts is a garden in a wheelbarrow. We're going to let people get as creative as they want to get. It could be flowers, it could be vegetables. You bring your own wheelbarrow, you bring your own garden in a wheelbarrow. So we're looking forward to see what folks bring to the fair.
That will be interesting.
Yeah.
See them wheeling it up.
Well, we have, we've had parents come in. I mean, their kids are 4 or 5 years old. They're just toddlers, but they want to bring their own little wheelbarrow. So, and we have adults, and so it'll be fun to see what that turns out to be.
And you mentioned earlier, for people who may have joined us here midstream, Harold, there's a website where the full schedule is listed? Did you tell me here?
Yes, bigbutlerfair.com. We have all the schedule, our entire premium book. Our premium catalog is there. It lists all of the entertainment that Ben's mentioned, as well as our judging schedules, packed full of information.
Mm-hmm. Big Butler Fair opening this Friday night, just a couple of days away. I'm sure there's a lot of people, Ben Roenig, who head out to the fair maybe even two or three times during the,
sure.
8-9 days that you're open.
Yep, that's what we hope everybody does.
Yeah. Why not? You know, how are you going to beat that entertainment?
Yeah, for $7, I mean, where are you going to go and have that much to see and do? And our food, too. I mean, we got food from, you know, Chinese to hot sausage to
once they start firing up those food booths.
Oh, I know.
Those aromas drift all the way to Renfrew, I think. You know.
A lot of people come up to eat. I mean, you know.
Oh, no question. Yeah. A lot of that stuff you only find.
Right.
At a fair, you know.
Yeah. Great variety. We often talk, Dave, just as a board, that, you know, it seems as fast-paced as the world's getting, and we just get bombarded. Our senses kind of get on overload. But when you come out to the fair, it's progressive, but yet you can also take a little step back in time and slow it down a little bit and enjoy your friends and family and our heritage here in Butler County.
That's just a wonderful thought. It really is, Harold, and it's true, too.
It is. Get away from the computers and the TV and get a hands-on feel for what, you know, really is there. You know?
That's the last thing I want to see at the fair. There's a couple of kids going around with their face in a tablet or something like that.
You're so right. Put them away. Turn them off and come to the fair.
Leave them in the car. For goodness
sake. Maybe we'll ban them next year.
That would create a firestorm. You'd be all over social media with that. That's for sure. I know it's nice, even if you happen to be going somewhere. I remember one year I was going to Newcastle and didn't have time to stop, but just driving by the fairgrounds in the evening when, you know, the rides are all lit up and things like the Ferris wheel and some of the other really tall ones, you can see them, you know. It's quite an atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can tell that you guys are fired up.
You
must be a little tired by now, though. It's quite a job putting this on, huh?
It is, but, I mean, if everybody does their job, it's you know, it all comes together. It all comes together.
Have you been on the fair board for a while, Ben?
Yeah, I'm thinking 20-some years. I really don't know.
I would say that qualifies for a while.
Yeah.
What about you, Harold?
I started in 86 as a secretary out at the fair.
Oh, my.
So, I've been on as the secretary treasurer, then as a fair board member. Now I'm doing both. So,
you just can't get rid of them.
Yeah. Well, it's something you better enjoy it or you wouldn't be doing it, because it does it can be consuming energy and emotionally. It takes a lot. But believe it or not, we do work on it year-round. And this week, the city becomes alive. You know, it has its own feel, its own space, and we're really excited about it.
I tell you what, I'm fired up just listening
to
you guys.
We look forward to seeing you there.
I'm ready to go out tonight. I just have to hold off for a couple of days here.
A couple of days.
Hey, guys, thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you for having us.
Giving us all a little preview of
everybody out. So.
The Big Butler Fair, 164th, can you believe it, edition. The Big Butler Fair opens this Friday night. Admission is $7 prior to 4 p.m., $9 after that. But for kids, for little kids.
Six and under, that's right. We forgot to say that. Yeah,
six and under, they're free.
We started that last year.
Free.
Free.
Can't beat that.
No.
And if you're interested in riding, some folks are, some folks aren't.
Right.
Mainly younger people are, maybe older folks aren't. the single ride tickets, 4 for $5, or, this is a good deal, you can get an all-day ride band for $20.
$20.
You can ride to your heart's content, huh?
It's well worth it. The rides he brings, top-notch.
Very reasonable prices. I was looking last week at how much it costs to go to Disney World.
Mm. Oh, I know. Kennywood, I think, is $40, $50 now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Go to Disney World.
Go to the Big Butler Fair. You have just as much
That's
fun.
Right. My granddaughter thought that was the Disney World for, you know, the last 7 or 8 years.
A lot of people that think that, yeah. Ben Rohn and Carol Dunn visiting with us here today. Nice to have you, gentlemen.
Thanks to have
you.
Us, Dave.
See you at the fair.
Sure. And we thank Mary Norris, our earlier guest. Thank you, listeners, for being with us today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Quick program note, Pirate Baseball on WISR tonight. The Pirates in Houston to face the Astros. Airtime 7:45 here on WISR tonight.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
I fool myself long as I can.